Hey there, blogging lady. Welcome back to another episode of the Boss Lady Bloggers podcast. Now, I know that I have disappeared for like a month and a week, and I have an explanation for this. Number one, I feel like I'm going through so many shifts in my business, and I'm just growing very rapidly within myself and my business. And with so much growth that I'm seeing, I feel like I've become a different person every month. This is how it feels like. And because I've been like, you know, jumping and like shifting every month and going through these like quantum leaps and just being a different person, I have a different way of viewing things. I have a different perspective. And this is just putting like so much craziness when it comes to trying to come up with content ideas and push out content and my messaging overall. I'm having a really hard time keeping my messaging consistent when I'm going through so much growth. So the last messaging that I have was, you know, you have like authenticity. And I totally still believe in this. You have to be authentic. And that's the lesson that I learned. But now I'm jumping into something new again because I have grown because of that lesson that I learned. You know what I mean? So I feel like I have to up level again, and I have new ideas and new mindset. I want to restructure my business yet again, and I'm just going through all of these like shifts and jumps, and it's so hard to be consistent when you're doing that with content ideas and such. So I've just been, you know, relaxing, taking a break, not overthinking too much, and just letting myself be,
if I don't have anything to say, I'm not going to say it. And I haven't had anything to say, so I haven't been showing up because I don't want to force it. You know what I mean? I don't want to force coming on here and recording a podcast episode when I'm feeling in a creative rut because of so much shifts that's happening. So I finally feel like I am at a point where I'm ready to come back, because I have so many ideas and I feel like I can move forward with, you know, where I'm at right now. So with that being said, let's hop into this episode. We're going to be talking about an anatomy of a high performing blog post. So if you've ever wondered what makes a blog post not just good, but great, then you're in the right place. We're going to be taking a super deep dive into the anatomy of a high performing blog post and everything that goes about writing amazing blog posts. So you have to remember this. Blogging isn't about publishing as much as you can. So because, you know, I haven't been publishing content, I haven't been showing up, you know, on my podcast, and I've been in this creative rut. This is why I'm creating this episode, because blogging is not about publishing as much as you can. It's about publishing as smart as you can. Okay, as smart as you can. You don't want to just publish to publish. You want to publish for reasons. You want to have a reason behind everything that you do, every content that you put out there, every offer that you put out there. You want to have a smart reason. And while it's true that consistency and quantity matter in blogging, quality is the trump card that separates the best from the rest, and it's what constitutes quality. And what constitutes quality, you might ask? Well, that's precisely what we're going to be here to examine. So, is it the engaging headline? Is it the thought-provoking content? Is it the visually appealing images and layout? Yes, all of these contribute to making a blog post high performing, but there's so much more to it than that meets the eye. And in this in-depth podcast episode, we're going to be breaking down the essential elements that make a blog post super successful. So whether you've been blogging for a very long time now, or you're looking to refine your craft as a newbie looking to learn the ropes, you're going to be finding plenty of valuable insights within this podcast episode. So, number one, let's talk about choosing the right blog post topic. Starting your journey of crafting high-performing blog posts begins when you choose the right topic. This foundational step is key,
is a key determinant of your blog post success. A well-chosen topic is like a magnet attracting readers who are interested in what you have to say. The role of keyword research. Keyword research plays a vital role in topic selection when it comes to blog posts. It's not just about finding the most popular words. It's about understanding what your potential readers are actually searching for. So high volume keywords, these are terms and phrases that are frequently searched for. Incorporating them into your blog post can increase its visibility. Then we have long tail keywords. These are more specific, often forming questions or statements. They may have low search volumes, but they attract more targeted traffic, which can improve engagement and conversions. Remember, the goal of your keyword research isn't to stuff your blog post with popular keywords. It's to understand the language of your audience and use it to create content that actually resonates with them. So somebody told me one time that they need help writing their blog post content that is SEO optimized and putting keywords throughout the blog post, but also making it sound natural. And deeper into this podcast episode, we're going to be discussing how to do that. So stay tuned. Next, we're going to be talking about identifying your target audience and their needs. Every blog post that you write should be tailored to your specific audience. Identifying who your target audience is and understanding their needs is essential for creating content that actually resonates with them, they actually want to read. Number one, you want to define your audience. Who are they? What are their interests, their values, and their needs? Number two, understanding their problems. What challenges are they facing that your blog can actually help with? And then number three, you want to offer solutions. So how can your blog provide value and help solve their problems? Because nobody reads content when it's not valuable to them. I'm sorry, people don't want to read stuff that's not going to be of any value to them, like whatsoever. They just don't. So by focusing on these elements, you can ensure that your blog post isn't just another piece of content on the internet, because we don't need, you know, more content out there. We don't need more to read. We are busy people. We are overstimulated people, and we don't need just more content. We need something. We need a valuable resource that meets the needs of the readers, fosters engagement, and drives actual conversions for us, like somebody signing up to our email list and purchasing what we have to offer. So let's talk about the significance of a captivating blog post headline. The headline of your blog post is the first thing that potential readers sees. It's the hook that either reels them in or pushes them away. So a well-crafted, captivating headline can make the difference between a post that's read and shared widely and then one that's going to be overlooked and passed on. So as the proverbial first expression, your headline carries a lot of weight. It's your chance to grab the reader's attention, pique their curiosity, and entice them to read further. Techniques for crafting attention-grabbing headlines. So how do you do this? Number one, use power words. Words that invoke emotion or strong response that can make your headlines more compelling. Examples include amazing, ultimate, essential, startling. Then you want to make a promise. Tell your readers what they're going to be gaining by reading your post. For example, how to improve your writing skills in 30 days. Number three, ask a question. Questions spark curiosity and invite the reader to find the answer within your post. For example, what are the top travel destinations in 2023? Number four, include numbers. Numbers provide structure and make your posts seem more actionable. For example, 7 ways to boost your website's SEO. Let's look at some other examples of effective headlines and why these work. So number one, 10 unforgettable places that you visit in your lifetime. So why does this work? The number gives a structure, while words like unforgettable and must visit give an enthusiastic tone. Number two, how to break the perfect chocolate chip cookies every time. I meant bake. The promise is clear. The reader will learn to bake perfect cookies. The word every time reinforces the promise. Is your morning coffee harming your health? The question sparks curiosity and directly addresses a potential concern of the reader. So remember, a captivating headline works in tandem with high quality content. It's not just about getting clicks here. It's about providing value and meeting the needs of your readers. So one of the things that I talk about a lot is how your brand is a storefront, how your website, how your brand is a storefront that calls in people, right? And that makes them stay. But what is the first thing that people see when they come across you? Like on Pinterest or Instagram, they see that headline. They see the words that call them in. So those words need to be like perfectly crafted. So that blog post headline that you have needs to be, you know, really good. So one tip that I can give to you is obviously you can use AI to create amazing headlines. And I highly suggest that you do, because, you know, ChatGPT can generate really good ones for you. But don't just take the first one that they give you and, you know, use that one. Ask them to generate like 20 for you and then pick the best that's going to resonate most with your ideal readers and speak on the value and the promise that your blog post actually provides. So the purpose of the blog post introduction. So the introduction of your blog post serves as the hook that reels in your reader. It's the initial exposure your audience has to the content that you're presenting, and it sets the tone for the rest of the post. Your introduction is also very, very important. It's going to tell them if they're going to read on or if they're not. So let's explore how to create an introduction that's not only engaging, but also filled with hooks to keep your readers interested in reading the entire post. So tips for creating an engaging blog post introduction. Number one, make it relevant. Your introduction should give a brief overview of the topic that you're covering. Make sure it's relevant to your readers' needs or interests. Two, utilize a hook. A hook is a compelling detail or statement that immediately grabs the reader's attention. This could be a surprising fact, proactive question, or a bold claim. Create suspense. By giving a hint of what's to come without revealing all of the details, you can create a sense of a suspense that encourages readers to continue. And number four, keep it concise. A good introduction is short and to the point. Overloading your introduction with too much information can overwhelm the reader and deter them from continuing. Examples of compelling blog post introductions. So did you know that 70% of businesses are unsuccessful in achieving their strategic goals due to a poor execution? So why does this first sentence work? So I'm talking about the first sentence within the introduction, of course, but this is what, you know, starts it off. This introduction statement or sentence starts with a surprising statistic, instantly grabbing the reader's attention and making them curious to learn more. Number two, imagine never having to worry about money again. In this post, we're going to show you how. By painting a picture of desired future and promising a solution, this introduction creates intrigue and encourages the reader to continue. Remember, a captivating headline works in tandem with high-quality content. It's not just about getting clicks. It's about providing value. So these hooks that I give you, you can expand on within your introduction. Of course, these are just sentences that I gave examples to, but you want to expand on this and make it very engaging and intriguing even more. So creating an introduction is a very crucial skill that you need to have. You need to have those very good introductions for your blog post so people actually read on. It's the very first impression other than your blog post title. And it persuades your audience to stick around for the rest of the post. So keep it relevant, use a hook, like I just gave examples of, create suspense, and keep it concise. Now let's talk about headings and subheadings. Creating high-performing blog posts is not just about the content itself, but also how it's structured. One of the key elements is the use of clear headings and subheadings. Headings and subheadings serve multiple important functions of your blog post, like organization. So they break the content into easily digestible chunks, making it easier for readers to understand and absorb the information. Number two, highlight key points. They allow you to emphasize the main points of your blog post. And number three, SEO. They're crucial for SEO as search engines. You want to use them to understand the content of your page. So Google will use your subheadings to determine what, you know, what you're teaching on and how helpful the blog post is actually. So the effective use of subheadings not only enhances the reader's experience, but also boosts your blog's visibility on search engines. So a tip that I have here is to not, like, when you structure your blog post, okay, the title is going to be H1 heading. And then the next heading that you use is going to be an H2. Anything under H2, then you want to use H3s. So those main points are going to be H2s. The points within the H2s are going to be H3s, if you know what I'm talking about. So let's say, you know, I'm talking about how to write an amazing blog post. Step one, you want to write a captivating headline within, so that's going to be your H2. Your H3s are going to be how to create, okay, so H2, how to create a captivating headline. H3 is going to be, you want to create a clickable title. You want to make sure it's SEO optimized, number two. Number three, you want to do this, blah, 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 right? Okay, so you get what I mean? I don't think that was a very good example, but I hope you understand. So you want to maintain a logical flow in your content. You want to use transition words, help them guide the reader through your content, follow a clear structure, always have a clear beginning, middle, and end, and stay on your topic with your headlines. Now let's talk about why visuals matter. So visual content plays a pivotal role in ensuring the success of your blog post. A picture is really worth a thousand words, and in the world of blogging, this couldn't be more accurate. Adding relevant visuals, images, infographics, videos can significantly boost the engagement and retention of your readers. So why does this matter? Number one, enhanced comprehension. Visuals are going to be, you know, helping your audience be able to understand complex ideas or data. Number two, increased engagement. They make your content more captivating and appealing, encouraging the readers to stay on your page longer. Number three, improved retention. People remember visual information better than they actually do text, which can increase your post long-term impact. They can also save these photos, like infographics, they can save and they can refer back to it later. And this is going to make them actually come back to your blog because they're like, oh, she created this. I need to go back to her blog to see what else she's posted. So according to a study by HubSpot, blog posts with visuals received 94% more views than those without. Make sure you are using high quality visuals throughout your posts. So why using your own images can actually boost SEO? So I actually went on the rabbit hole this week to find out if, you know, whether stock photos or using your own images can highly impact the use of your SEO. And yes, I did find that it does highly, you know, help your SEO, like rankings for your blog posts. Because number one, it's original. Search engines appreciate original and unique content. Number two, image optimization. Every image that you upload to your blog is another opportunity to optimize your SEO. And engagement. High quality, original images can increase user engagement. Like I said, you know, people can save your image and they can refer back to it later. So in conclusion, integrating your own images into your blog post can significantly boost your SEO efforts. So if you're worried about, you know, taking the most perfect original photos, don't. People want originality, and not everybody is the best photo editor, right? Just be unique and just do the best that you can. Don't worry about perfectionism. So let's talk about a conversational and reader-friendly writing style. Many blog writers often struggle between maintaining a professional tone and writing in a way that's relatable and friendly to your readers. However, it's crucial to strike a balance. A conversational and reader-friendly writing style is significant because it enhances reader engagement, makes complex topics more digestible, and builds trust with your audience. So what I like to do is I like to write some posts that are like more professional, like educational posts are like more professional. But like when I'm talking about an opinion or something that could be more conversational, then that's, you know, when I talk in like a more conversational tone. But you want to avoid jargon and overly technical language. So in an effort to appear knowledgeable and professional, some writers may use a ton of jargon or language that people don't understand, but this can often lead to confusion and disinterest among readers, especially those who are new to the topic. So here are a few tips for avoiding that jargon and overly technical language. Number one, know your audience, use simple words, and explain your terms. So know your audience, understand the knowledge level that your audience may have. Number two, avoid using simple or like complex words, you know, like difficult words that people, like most people won't understand. Make sure that you break down those terms. So if you are going to be using like technical language that not everybody is going to understand, make sure you define it. Put a definition there and explain it. So now let's talk about creating relatable content. So relatable content is key to creating a connection with your audience. People are more likely to engage with the content that resonates with their own experiences and emotions. Here are some techniques to creating relatable content. Use real life examples. Stories and examples from everyday life help readers see how your content applies to them. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, writing all about you and your experiences and blah, 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 and writing it as a journal, but have little snippets of stories within your blog posts explaining, you know, some reasoning behind it. And then you want to show empathy, of course. Understanding and expressing your readers' feelings and experiences can make your content more relatable. So when you're talking about a problem that they might have and why they have this problem, which is very important that you need to do, you want to show that you understand that you went through too, you had the same experiences, and then how you overcame it. And then you want to involve your readers. So asking questions, seeking opinions can make them feel involved and valued. So now at the end of the post, you want to make sure you have a very good conclusion and most importantly, a call to action. So conclusion is going to round up the whole entire post. The call to action is super overlooked and you want to have a clear, strong call to action. This isn't just a fancy marketing term. It's a critical part of your engagement strategy. A call to action is a prompt that explicitly tells your reader what action that they need to take next. It's a signpost that guides them on their journey through your content, encouraging them to interact further, whether that's by subscribing to your newsletter, purchasing a product, or sharing your post on social media, or any other action that you want them to take. Make sure you understand the goal of the post before you actually write it. So having a goal for the post of what action that you want them to take throughout the post is very crucial. For example, sometimes I have, you know, my membership picture to join so they can click on the picture if they want to join my membership. So that's the goal of the post. Sometimes the goal of the post is to mainly get them to subscribe to my newsletter. And I have a content upgrade, which means that freebie is directly related to whatever the blog post topic is about. Types of call to actions and when to use them. Lead generation. So these call to actions are used to collect reader information, often exchange, you know, for a free resource to get them into a sales funnel or to get them on to like book a call. Actually, there's sales closing too. So these are direct prompts for readers to purchase, book a call, buy now, blah, blah, blah. Sharing. So these call to actions encourage readers to share your content. So example, share this post with your friends, share this on Pinterest, blah, 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 and then read more. So these call to actions can be at the very bottom of your blog post. And usually I like to put like a list of, you know, more blog posts that they can read at the very end. So, now let's talk about the anatomy of on-page SEO. So, of course, you have this blog post written, you have your introduction, you have your headings, you have, you know, a blog post that is very well formatted, you have your call to action at the end, you have your images throughout the blog post. What else do you need to do now to make sure that your blog post is SEO optimized? Number one, meta titles. These are important SEO factors as they are the very first thing a user sees in the search results. Your meta title should be compelling, include your focus keyword, and be under 60 characters. Now, if you scroll down on the bottom of WordPress, you can see Yoast SEO. Now, you're going to have, you know, your SEO title. You're going to have your URL. You're going to have your meta description. And you're going to have suggestions and your key and somewhere to put your keyword. So now let's talk about meta descriptions. While not a direct ranking factor, meta descriptions play a significant role in user click-through rates. They should be descriptive, enticing, and contain your keyword. I like to keep these under 150 characters. Keyword placement. Use your keyword. Use your target keyword strategically without overdoing it throughout the post. You want to include them. Now listen carefully. You want to probably write this down. You want to include them in your blog post title. And not just anywhere in the blog post title, but in the very front of your blog post title. Try to keep it in the very front. Number two, your headings and subheadings and throughout the body of your post. So within your headings, you want to have that keyword. Now, you don't have to actually use that keyword, that only keyword that you have. So let's, for example, blog coaching, okay? That's a keyword. So, you know, I can use blog coaching, but I can also use blog coaching services, and I can also use blog coach, and I can also use hire a blog coach, and I can also use different phrases of that keyword, different synonyms of the keyword. So let's say you're on Google and you find, you know, a funky phrased keyword or key phrase, okay? And it's just phrased really awkwardly. No worries. You can use a synonym of that and it's still going to rank. So let me see another example. I don't really know off the top of my head, but it's just, you know, those keywords that you find that are really funky phrased, and you know you're not going to be able to smoothly put it throughout the blog post. Just use a really good synonym of that blog post and or of that keyword or key phrase that you're using, and, you know, it's still going to rank. And then use several different synonyms and different phrases of that keyword throughout the post. So you're going to have, you know, let's say 15 of that same, you know, main key phrase that you're targeting, but then you're going to have another 15 of a different, you know, synonym of that keyword. Do you see what I mean? Try not to overdo it, but definitely have like 30 of mixed synonym keywords within that post if it's, you know, 2,000 words or longer. You just really have to eye it. So now let's talk about internal and external links. Internal links are the links that go from one page on a domain to a different page on the same domain, so on your same website. So let's say I link my about page, or let's say I link a different blog post. That's hosted on my website, right? So I want to be putting related blog posts throughout the blog post. And then I want to be putting, you know, different pages, like I can link my membership or whatever. So direct them to relevant pages throughout that blog post. External links, these are hyperlinks that point to any domain other than the domain that the link exists on. So somebody else's domain. So, you know, these can be affiliate links. These can be leading to your Instagram. These can be leading to different people's blog posts, etc. So now let's talk about practical SEO tips for optimizing. Number one, keyword optimization. So we already talked about that. Make sure you have your meta descriptions. You want to have alt text for images. Alt text means basically you want to, okay, so search engines can't see your image, right? But they can read the alt text. So include alt text for your images so that, you know, Google can understand what your image is. So you want to provide, so alt text is basically a description of the blog post. Let's say you have a woman in a blue dress who's holding a red balloon, okay? You're going to explain that just how I explained it to you. There's a woman in a blue dress who's standing on a bridge who is holding a red balloon. Boom. And then you want to put like somewhere your keyword in there. And like to make sure that Google understands that this image is relevant to whatever your, you know, blog post is about. Optimize your URL. So URLs should be SEO friendly and very descriptive. So you want to use your main keyword within this URL. Keep it short, keep it clean. So typically your URL at default is going to just be your blog post title. You want to change this to be just your keyword or key phrase. So, and then of course, your internal and external links. Now, it's important to understand that using Yoast SEO is not, you know, it's just a guide, okay? So when you have green lights on your WordPress, that does not mean that your blog post is going to rank, because there's different factors that go into it that you don't get, okay? So for example, you can have a very short blog post with very short text within your subheadings and your headings, and the blog post cannot be good in the eyes of Google, and your blog post is not going to rank, even though SEO says you're good to go. You hit everything. Well, you know, is that blog post actually very in-depth that, you know, Google expects your blog post to be very, very detailed and very in-depth and very valuable? That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. When they want to rank your article on number one, that means that that article is the very best. And that means that that article is very descriptive on whatever you're talking about. And that blog post is very detailed and structured very good and long format. And it's better than the competitors. So when you're doing your keyword research, I always go to my competitors first. So I don't just, you know, type in my keyword and go search for keywords that way inside of a keyword research tool like Uber Suggest. No, what I do is I go to my competitors. I see what are their top articles that they have written, what are their top keywords, and I go after those. And then I click over to their, you know, actual blog posts that they're, you know, ranking number one on or whatever, ranking very highly for. And I write a better blog post than them. I write more detailed blog posts. I write a more thorough and better structured. I write more subheadings and more text and more keywords and just a better blog post overall to help Google know that, wow, this blog post like blows this other competitor out of the water. We're going to rank you higher for this keyword. Okay. So SEO does not produce results overnight. I know you know that. It requires patience, consistent effort. Keep optimizing your blog posts, especially updating your blog posts. Please always go back and update your blog posts. I have not done this. I am freaking slacking. I'm about to hire this out. But always go back and update your blog posts because this is very, very important. So redo your keyword research. Make sure that your keyword is better than most blog or your competitors. Make sure your blog post is better and more detailed than your competitor. And, you know, update that blog post and you will rank it higher. So let's see. So I want to wrap up this entire podcast episode. So we've dissected the anatomy of high-performing blog posts. It's clear that the success of a blog post isn't solely dependent on SEO optimization. Instead, it's a combination of SEO strategies and your ability to engage and help your readers. A high-performing blog post is not just one that ranks high in search results, but it's also one that resonates with its readers and generates a lively discussion. So let's summarize the key takeaways. Optimizing your blog post for SEO is super, super crucial for getting your content noticed. Engagement is equally important. Your blog needs to resonate with your readers and spark a lively discussion and help them. Combining SEO strategies with reader engagement will lead to the creation of a high-performing blog post. So I encourage you to apply these principles to your own blog writing. Remember, a successful blog post is one that strikes a balance between engaging content and SEO optimization. If you need help or guidance in crafting high-performing blog posts, don't hesitate to check out my blog coaching services. I'm here to help you bring your blog to the very next level. So click the link in my bio to book a free call. My show notes below is what I mean. So as we wrap up this insightful discussion on the anatomy of a high-performing blog post, I want to express my sincere gratitude for your time and attention if you've made it to this point, because I know this episode is pretty long and there's a lot of information here and it probably requires you to sit down and take some notes. But it's your interest and eagerness to learn that keep these episodes going, and I'm incredibly thankful for your support. So I'm just super, super thankful for you guys for listening to these podcast episodes, and I always get Instagram DMs saying, wow, I love your podcast episodes, and these resonate so well with me, and these help me so much, and that's the ultimate goal. So thank you so much. So if you're interested in learning more, like I said, you can click the link in the show notes below to book a call with me to get blog coached. And I have several different packages for different price points. So affordable for everybody. So I also value your feedback. So if you would like to, you can DM me on Instagram and we can start a conversation. And I would just love your feedback on the podcast episodes. And yeah, so cheers to creating amazing blog post content. I will see you in the next episode.